We're on the air live tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Online tonight. If you can disconnect emotionally, it's really quite sad. In his own way, he's reaching out for a friend.
Not that you should feel sorry for him, though. His kind should be destroyed.
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Welcome into Online Tonight. I am Max, and this is where we talk about the latest in tech, pop culture, also some random thoughts about some cool and nerdy things. We'll also take your tech questions, which, of course, you can submit via the phone, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Don't forget, you can text and email us. The text is 951-395-1017, and the email address is show@onlinetonight.com. This was a week of earnings. A lot of tech companies had their earnings, so we're going to jump in with a little bit of that. Alphabet, Microsoft, other tech companies are showing how well they're doing. Alphabet did not hit expectations this last time around. They showed a growth that fell about 6%. They had revenue of $57.2 billion. And people are complaining, right? They're complaining that they're not making enough money, but $57 billion they brought in. Wow. But it is their slowest growth rate since June of 2020. They had a loss in every single division. So YouTube and advertisement, the only group that grew, that had a little bit of more money than they were expecting, was their server group. So they are getting a little bit of response on the stock market. Like, I'm not a financial expert, so what all that means exactly, I don't know. But we'll find out. Microsoft also did their first quarter 2023 results. But we're still in 2022. This is what's interesting about us as individuals and companies. Us as individuals, our calendar starts January 1st, 2022, and it ends December 30th or 31st. I don't know how many days are in what month. It's Halloween, so tomorrow, so what can you expect? That has 31 days. I know that much. But companies can have their quarter start, let's say, August of 2022, and that represents their first month of 2023. So sometimes these things can be a little bit confusing, but that's how it works in companies. Microsoft had their first quarter 2023 results. They were better than expected. They had an 11% increase year over year. They brought in $50.1 billion. So they're very excited about that. They said their cloud business was still their growth driver. Now that they're not really charging for Windows 11 and things like that, you can still get a Windows 11 for free. So they're not making a lot of money on the operating systems. And they keep changing the name of Office. Office is now, as we reported previously, 365. And that is maybe that now counts as a cloud service because that is going to be primarily on the cloud. So that's Microsoft's numbers. Apple also had, let's jump into Meta first. Meta, not very happy. Their stock price fell as much as 25% after they reported slower revenue growth on and rising costs like everything else in the world. They had still brought in about $35 billion, but they were expecting more. And so they had spent a lot of money. So Meta rebranding themselves, talking a lot about the AI and reality labs and the metaverse. They spent over $17 to $27 billion, and they're expecting those investments and costs to go up to over $30 billion next year. So more on the metaverse a little bit later in the show. Amazon revenue growth during the third quarter was slightly lower than expected. They had fewer numbers than they wanted. Their growth, however, fourth quarter growth, only slowed by about 2 or 4%. I'll tell you, my spending personally on things that I'm buying and going out for entertainment and things like that is way more than 2 to 4% because of the cost of gas and the cost of so many other things. So Amazon is definitely very happy about their server growth. That is still relatively good. They call it AWS. That's their Amazon Web Services, where you can host your own websites, or a lot of different companies like Netflix and things like that use the service so that they can deliver product to you using Amazon's vast network of server farms. That slowed a little bit, but it's still doing quite well for them. Apple was kind of the big news. Apple had, I have some additional details I wanted to share. First, let's talk about the problem with the iPhone 14. The iPhone 14 Pro and Max are still really hard to get, but Tim Cook wants us all to know that he is working hard on getting those supply chain issues resolved, and they will get them in your hands as quickly as possible. It's definitely not affecting their money necessarily, because their fiscal 2022, they earned over $78 billion for the year. That's $10 billion more than they made the previous year. And their services category, which actually the numbers I just gave you were only for the services category. And if you don't know, Apple services include Apple Store, Apple Music, Apple Pay, Apple Care, Apple TV, Apple Arcade, the Fitness, iCloud Plus, and professional services. They brought in almost $79 billion, and that's $10 billion more than last time. Their total amount of money that they brought in, I believe, for the quarter, or for the end, was $90 billion. No, they generated $90 billion in extra cash. They already have, what, $120, $130, $140 billion in cash in the bank? So even though they may not have hit their targets on the iPhone and some of the Macs, they're still doing very well, and they are happy to take your money, obviously. A little bit more on Apple news. Apple has confirmed that, yeah, they're being forced by the European Union to make some changes to upcoming products, including the iPhone. So hesitantly, they're confirming that phones in Europe will have a USB-C port, because that is required. It's a new mandate for all phones to have that in the EU starting, I don't remember what the date is, but so expect all future phones. My question is Apple really going to have multiple versions of their phones? Like, are we going to have a Lightning version in America and a USB-C version over in Europe? And then what happens in Brazil? What happens in India? What happens in China? What happens in Japan? Or just because of the complications of having to manufacture all these different kinds of choices? Well, they already do that with the colors. But internally, are they going to just say, you know what? We're just going to have USB-C everywhere. And we don't know what Apple is thinking until we see their newest iPhones. This is Online Tonight. Don't forget, you can give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE. More coming up. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight. Geek Speak.
This hour's Geek Speak is single board computer. A single board computer is defined as a complete computer that is built on a single circuit board. That includes things like memory, the I.O. What is I.O.? Well, like the USB ports, the HDMI port, the audio port, the Ethernet port. Of course, the microprocessor and any additional features that are required to make a functional computer. Some examples of single board computers are the Raspberry Pi, which I'm a giant fan of. I actually have made many things with the Raspberry Pi. I like it very much. The Latte Panda, which I have not played with, and of course the Odroid, the Raspberry Pi being the most popular of them all. That is this hour's Geek Speak. Single board computer.
Online tonight.
Where the quality of our answers just might surprise you. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
It is Max. Thank you so much for joining us on Online Tonight. Don't forget, you can reach us by phone, text, and email. I will give you those contact informations any minute. And of course, you can head over to the website, onlinetonight.com. And if you click on Reach Us, you'll see all the different ways that you can reach us to get your question or comment on the air. A little bit of, I'm going to stay away from the politics of it, because apparently this is kind of political. But for me, it's more of a technology thing. The richest man in the world has decided that he wanted to buy Twitter, and after all of the drama, he finally finished up acquiring the entire thing and walked into the building carrying a sink, which puzzled me. The caption on it said, "Let that sink in." I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to say there. It's too intellectual for me. I have no idea, but I do know some of the consequences of Elon Musk taking over Twitter. He went in and he fired a bunch of people. He said to the CEO, the CFO, and others, "You lied to me while I was trying to buy this. You hid the amount of bots. You lied about your censorship rules. And so let me show you the door." And they were escorted out with armed security. So the CEO, the CFO, and the censorship board all fired in the first 10 minutes of him walking into the building with a sink. I'm sure he put the sink down before he wagged his finger at everybody and told them to get out. Another thing that he did, which was kind of surprising, or maybe not surprising at all, is he fired the entire board. He walked into the boardroom, said, "Hi, you're all let go." And I guess part of my question to that is really, has he taken it private? Because if I look on my phone, even though it's a Sunday, if I look on my phone, I can see that Twitter stock was down. But maybe as of the first of the month? I have no idea. So there are rules when you are a publicly traded company that you have to have a certain number of people and you have to have a diverse board so that you can meet the shareholder needs. But if Elon Musk is the single shareholder now, owns the entire company, I don't know if you remember, but way back in the day, it's weird because their stock is back on the stock market. But at one point, Dell was a publicly traded company, and Michael Dell said, "You know what? I don't like the direction of this. I am going to bring it back and make it a public company." And so they didn't have to disclose certain revenue issues. They didn't have to have such a strict group of rules on their board and how their executive makeup was. And so I'm wondering, if Twitter is in that same space, are they now just a private company? And is the stock that I'm looking at in my little stock portfolio on my phone frozen? And eventually it will be taken off of there? I don't know. These are questions I don't know. If you know the answer to that question, I am very curious. Feel free to give me a call. 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546. And of course, it made the news. A lot of people kind of freaked out and said that Twitter going to Elon Musk is the end of American democracy, which I thought was kind of funny, because one group says, oh, don't worry about the censorship and don't worry about this or whatever. It doesn't affect anything. But then when they feel at risk, they feel threatened, they're all like, oh, no, you know, Twitter is so powerful, it's going to change everything. And don't forget, though, that Twitter is not just in the U.S. They're in Canada, they're in Asia, they're in Europe, they're in all over the place. They're an international company. So it seems silly to us, it seems silly to me, that everybody's so worried about the impact it's going to have on America only. And, well, let's get away from the politics. I found this other little story kind of amusing because there's always somebody out there who wants to take advantage of things. Where I was going with that is that the mainstream media was having kind of a meltdown after Elon showed up and fired a bunch of people, and they were worried that, you know, certain people were going to get let back onto the platform. And so there was rumors and stories about people getting fired and all the changes that Elon was going to make. And so a couple actors in San Francisco decided to stand in front of Twitter headquarters with brown boxes, you know, like those file boxes, and they put, you know, stuff in there like tape dispenser and their stapler and, you know, a couple little banners. And they were interviewed by the news crews around there. And they said, oh, yeah, we just got fired. And, you know, I have a Tesla. And so I was really surprised that they fired me. And they got a lot of time on these news networks. And it turns out they never even worked there. They never worked for Twitter. They were just posers out in the front trying to get some free publicity for their causes, whatever those were. It wasn't even clear. I don't know what it was they were trying to figure out, other than it's fun to see the mainstream media get duped sometimes. Makes me, makes my brain click. What can I come up with? Online Tonight. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is live and on the air at 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
Online Tonight.
Where beauty is only a dimmer switch away. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
It's Max. Feel free to give us a ring. 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546. Text us at 951-395-1017. Or email the show@onlinetonight.com. Best ways to jump in. Let us know what's on your mind. If you have any tech questions or you want to chat a little bit about pop culture or anything that you're into, video games, things like that, anything but politics. I don't know a lot about politics, and I don't like to hear about politics, so it would not be enjoyable for either one of us if you shared that with us. Video games. Let's jump into video games. I was very impressed by this recent article regarding children and video games. Children that have been playing video games at least 3 hours a day have better cognitive performance than children who don't. Researchers found that children who reported playing video games for more than 3 hours or more per day were faster and more accurate at both cognitive tasks than those who had never played, according to a report from, boingboing.net. I'm not sure exactly where the report came from, but it might, I'm guessing it's from some medical company, because they even did some MRI brain imaging to make some of these analysis. They found that kids that used their brains to play video games had more brain activity than some of the others. I have a question, however, for Miss Victoria. I think she might join me in this I don't want to lead the witness necessarily. But my question is, wouldn't this depend on the video game? Are there some video games possibly out there that might dull or numb a child's brain? Like, what is the game that I like with the puppets? I never get this right. I always want to say Animal Planet, but Animal Planet is completely a different game.
Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet. So I like that because you have to, as a team, you have to solve puzzles, which is also why I like Disney Infinity, because you have your different characters, and different characters can push different doors and buttons and things like that. You're still with us, right?
Yes.
Okay, so games like, I don't know, Call of Duty or Black Ops, things like that, which have an extreme amount of violence and guts and blood and things like that. Do you think the children... I wish they had listed like some of the games. What are your thoughts on some of these more aggressive games? Do you think that they still help, or do you think they hurt?
You know, they didn't really look into that with this study, and I wanted to tell you what the source was. NIH.gov, which is the National Institutes of Health,
sure,
which is a big, famous health organization back east. They did say that...
I was impressed that they did the MRI brain imaging on these kids just to see how much higher brain activity they had in certain regions of the brain when it came to attention and memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then but then the question is, how many people lie? So,
well,
I feel like there's a lot of lying.
It says that these patterns may stem from practicing tasks related to impulse control and memory. So, you know, they're detecting certain patterns where kids have to think, they have to remember. So a lot of these, you know, if these are younger kids, I don't think they're testing them on violent video games. I think they're testing them on kid-oriented games.
Sure.
To see, you know, what kinds of patterns from the memory and you know, one might argue that the hand-eye coordination is important,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
So...
But so let's, I have a couple questions regarding this study. The first one is, who did they ask about video game play, the parents or the child? Because in the past, we've had parents say, oh, no, I only let my kid watch television, you know, 1 or 2 hours a day. And it turns out that those kids are watching television in some form or another. Because remember, everybody has a television on their smartphones now, and you see these kids sitting even today for lunch, before we came in here on a Sunday, we went and got some wings, and a couple of the kids were watching some kind of avocado program. I don't even know what that is, but that's TV time. You may not define it as TV time, but it's still a television-like program. And so when adults are asked, how much do your kids watch television, their answer is always significantly lower than the actual number.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, which parents voluntarily said that their kids watch more than 3 hours of video games per day, because you would think that most parents would say, oh, no, my kids do their homework.
Exactly.
They don't play video games.
So I'm always curious how these sources come up. The other thing I'm always curious about, thank you, by the way, is the source of how some things are allowed and some things are not allowed. As an example, still in the video game era, genre, IKEA has sent out cease and desist notices to an independent video game company who is developing a furniture store survival game. And the reason why this piqued my interest was we had recently just watched Mr. and Miss Smith, which is how Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt met. And then we know the story there. They separated from their partners, and then they came together, and then they adopted a bunch of kids, and then they had their own kids, and now there's that whole split up there, and that's a pop culture topic if you want to talk about it. I don't know much about them other than I ran into Brad Pitt at the aquarium in Louisiana. That's the closest I've gotten to him. So it's not like I can call him and ask him questions, but if you can, then feel free to share. My point being is that during the making of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they used an IKEA warehouse as a set in the movie. Now, yes, they renamed it to home store, but you could clearly see it still had the gray line. It still had, they did use different colors. The home store was mostly green, whereas you know that the IKEA colors are mostly blue and gold or blue and yellow, very UCLA, very Cal State. I'm sure there are plenty of other colleges around that have the same colors. Well, apparently that there was too much likeness for their desire. My question really is, does IKEA just want money, or do they just absolutely don't want them using their color scheme? The video game company even used a Scandinavian name. They could have just used Home Store. They could have used Furniture Plus. They could have used anything. If you're going to make something and you don't want a bunch of lawyers, especially if you're a small independent company and you don't want a bunch of lawyers banging on your door or sending you letters, just be smart. Change the color. Come up with a different name that is not at all like it. And move on.
I think IKEA just doesn't want people hanging out after they close and trying to spend the night in their stores.
Oh, but I believe there's also like a supernatural element to this game. I don't know a lot about the game. I'd love to have the game developers on. But I would really love to see, you know, is there something that IKEA found out that maybe made them nervous? You know, especially if there's guns or swords or broken table legs used as weapons that they don't want to be associated with. So that makes sense to me. And, well, you know, we'll see. But if you're an independent company and you're influenced by something, change it enough so that you don't have a big giant company coming after you for no reason. People are worried that now that Microsoft has purchased Activision Blizzard, that some of their favorite games on PlayStation might go away. Well, the Xbox chief, Phil Spencer, recently said, hey, as long as the PlayStation is out there, meaning they're still making them and people still own them, we will continue to make Call of Duty. We promise. Now, it's a corporate promise, and we know that lack of money sometimes causes companies to break their promises. But right now, Microsoft is saying, as part of their acquisition of Activision Blizzard, that if you're a Call of Duty fan and you're on a PlayStation, don't worry, we're not going to make it an Xbox exclusive. If you remember, Bungie had the Halo franchise, and I believe they showed the Halo franchise originally on a PlayStation. My memory might not be serving me correctly because that E3 was more than, I don't know, 15 years ago. So I'm reaching back into my cobwebby archives just in time for Halloween. Move those cobwebs out of the way and see if this information's right. But from my recollection, Bungie was making Halo for a different platform. Microsoft bought it and they made it an Xbox exclusive. And I think that's what people are worried about. And Microsoft wants you to know, don't you worry. We are going to continue to make it available as long as there's PlayStations out there. There's another company out there called Publisher. They're a publisher. They're called Red Deer Games. And if you are a fan of the Nintendo Switch, like Miss Jennifer, my little one, is, they haven't announced a sale. But if you look in the store right now, you can find some of their games, and they have several different games. They're an independent company, a little independent publisher. They have a variety of games, and they're only $2 a piece right now. So if you are interested in any of their titles, check them out while that sale is still there. Again, it was not publicized, but some listeners and viewers who noticed it said, hey, this is a great deal if you like these games. I like games. Do you like games? Let us know. It's online tonight. Stay tuned.
Online tonight.
Hey! Bookmark this.
All right. Bookmark this. Earlier we were talking about SBCs, or single board computers, and one of the absolute most popular ones is called the Raspberry Pi. But due to some manufacturing challenges and the supply chain and things like that, the $35 Raspberry Pi is very hard to come by. People are scalping them for more than the PlayStation 5. If you look at the percentages when the PlayStation 5 first came out, you were paying, instead of $500, you were paying $1,500. The $35 Raspberry Pi, if you look now on Amazon, is going to cost you somewhere in the $100, $200 range, which is absolutely ridiculous. So how can you get one from the nonprofit Raspberry Pi Foundation and not spend an arm and a leg? Well, there is a bookmark called rpilocator.com. rpilocator.com. And even though it is a European site, you can see who has some available. As an example, the CM4s are mostly available in Europe right now. And they are going anywhere from, and this is in euros, so I apologize, 40 euros to 120 euros. And if I, let's just for fun, let's see, 44 euro to dollars is about $43.50. So it's almost a one-to-one ratio right now. Wow, that means the euro is a little bit flat compared to where it was before. But if you're looking for a Raspberry Pi 4, you're out of luck right now. If you're looking for a Raspberry Pi 3B Plus or any of those other ones, they might be available. And the best place to look is our bookmark at rpilocator.com. rpilocator.com. That is this hour's Bookmark This.
Online tonight.
No boy or girl scouts were harmed in the production of this show. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Don't forget, you can always call us, text us, or email us. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Text us, 951-395-1017. And the best way to get us via email is show@onlinetonight.com. I believe the Astros Philly game is tomorrow because they took a day off because they moved locations, and I think that was on a Monday originally, or maybe it was supposed to be today and it got rained out. I don't know. I only glanced at the sports. I usually wait until it's a little bit farther on before I get involved, kind of like the Super Bowl. I like the Super Bowl because it's just one game, seven games for me. I don't always have the schedule to watch them, so I kind of wait until it's closer to where it's a deciding game. Like if somebody's three games ahead or three games to one, then I'll watch it. But if it's still one-to-one or anything like that, then I don't... But how do I find this information? I head over to ESPN sometimes, or I use my MLB app. But I was very interested to see that ESPN is going to be selling their stake in X Games. I didn't realize that they had such a stake in X Games, but they are selling, they have a majority stake in it, and they are selling it off to MSP Sports Capital. The other thing that surprised me was, for some reason, I always thought that Tony Hawk was already involved. But according to this press release that I saw from the Hollywood Reporter, Tony Hawk will be joining the X Games investor group as a brand steward and will be on the advisory board to help them make the sport even better and more attractive to other people. In case you don't know, X Games are kind of it stands for extreme sports and things like BMX and motocross, skateboarding, things like that. When you see them doing on a motorbike, you see them doing a 360 off of a ramp and landing it, or snowboarders who are doing double flips and twists and things like that. It's always fun. I've been to one or two X Games in the past when they have been in the Southern California area, whether it's San Diego or up in LA. In fact, I think we even did an interview one time from the red carpet of the X Games, and we interviewed Shaun White and was it Bobby Stewart? And he's a Moto X guy. And of course, the gold medal winner, Shaun White, is a snowboarder. So all those things are available in the X Games categories. And now ESPN no longer owns any of that. But they got rid of one thing so that ESPN could turn around and get something else. It's not necessarily as popular here in the U.S. as it is in Europe. I would say in the U.S., NASCAR is probably more common for American fans. Kind of like American football is more famous in the U.S. than football in every other country, which we call soccer. ESPN has officially inked a long-term deal to bring Formula One to ABC, ESPN, ESPN Plus, etc. And they will be airing the races, the F1 races, all the way through 2025. So this is a multi-year deal. They're very excited about that. They're hoping that you're going to be very excited about that. So if Formula One is your thing, then great. And not to be undone, ESPN is also reaching out to people like me, the nerds, the geeks. They are now running segments on SportsCenter that share Dungeons and Dragons. So some professional Dungeons and Dragons, we call it D&D in our circles. ESPN is now trying to get us, who aren't necessarily sports fanatics, to come and join their network so that we can watch a bunch of people like us play games. Online tonight. Stay tuned.
Looking around for the phone number, it's 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Okay. Explain.
I can't. I don't know how he's doing it.
You're not going to do anything about that?
What am I going to do, huh? Broadcast her over the internet?
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Online Tonight. Thank you for joining us. My name is Max, and this is Online Tonight, where we take your calls or we talk about technology, pop culture, some cool stuff. We tackle your tech questions, and of course, you can submit those via phone. 951-39. Yeah, that's our text. Let me give you the text first. 951-395-1017. As I'm getting a text, you see, it drew my attention. If you want to be on the air, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. I also love to hear from you via email, show@onlinetonight.com. The text I was getting was not show-related, but I'm going to make it show-related. A buddy and I are looking at... Well, let me tell you a little background on my buddy real quick. Makes video games in Unreal. And one of the benefits of Unreal is their ability to create these vast worlds. And it's not just a case of the ground or a little building or things like that. They create vast worlds where they have the sky and the sunset and the stars and trees and grass that moves and rivers that flow and waves that do what waves do against the beaches or the cliffs. And he creates these very immersive worlds for video game companies. And he said, hey, wouldn't this make a fantastic virtual reality environment where you can just kind of walk around? I know there are people out there that are making... I know that Meta recently did a thing with NBC where they're going to let you walk around the environment of the office or around the Halloween Horror Nights or any other kind of monster movie sets. But what if you wanted to live in, say, the new environment in Avatar? What if you wanted to live in an environment, let's pretend you wanted to be in a pod on Mars? Right, all of these things are possible in the virtual reality space where you can then immerse yourself into these things. And we had a long conversation about what would be fun, what kind of environment would you want to create And so that really just kind of brought a long discussion on the virtual reality space. And on that topic, people from Apple, people from Snap, and people from Microsoft have had a few words, let's say choice words, for the executives over at Meta. They even renamed their whole company. Facebook has renamed their entire company Meta, and every other word out of Zuckerberg and those guys is the word metaverse. Metaverse. You'll hear that a lot for the next decade, except for from some of these companies. Apple VP Greg Joswiak, J-O-S-W-I-A-K. How would you say that, Miss Victoria? Because I'm not good with, it looks like maybe a Dutch name or a Scandinavian name.
Joswiak.
Joswiak.
Polish.
Polish? Okay. So Greg says the word metaverse will never be said at Apple. They will never use that term. So I'm very curious when the new Apple AR/VR headsets come out, what they're going to call the immersive environments where you can lose yourself in this Mars environment or the Hawaii environment or the horror environment. What are they going to name these things? Because they have decided over at Apple they will not use the term metaverse. Snap CEO Evan Spiegel also had a few words about Zuckerberg's $15 billion investment in the metaverse, saying the last thing that I want to do when I get home is put goggles on and go somewhere else. I've got movies to be. I'm not sure exactly what Evan says, but for me, I've got movies to binge. I've got people to talk to. I've got board games that I want to play and video games that I want to play. I don't want to put goggles on, get a sweaty head, and accidentally walk off a virtual cliff. So I don't want to do that. The bosses over at Microsoft, especially the one in charge of the Xbox, the new boss over there is Phil Spencer. And he said the problem with what we've seen so far from the metaverse, from the demos, from Meta, formerly Facebook, is that it just looks like a really bad implementation of a video game. It looks incomplete. It looks kind of choppy. And until we get to the point where we have enough power and enough graphics and all those fun things at home, these are going to just be cheap representations of where you could go in real life. And we don't all want to be stuck in the stacks. That is a Ready Player One reference for those who have read the book or watched the movie. Speaking of Xboxes, Xbox is losing about $100 to $200 on every single Xbox they sell. Phil Spencer, again, said at the company retreat recently that they lose on the accessories, on the hardware itself, and on subscriptions. But they make it back in game licensing. Each developer who wants to be on an Xbox has to pay money to be allowed to deploy on that platform. And I believe a lot of these details are not, I guess I could call my buddy and ask him, but a lot of these details are not made overly public. They get a percentage of all game sales. And don't forget, video games have exceeded the motion picture industry with billions and billions of dollars in annual revenue for the entire industry. So it's not like in the long term, in the big grand scheme of things, Microsoft is losing money if you take everything under the Xbox umbrella and look at it as a single entity. But on the hardware itself, the accessories and the subscriptions, they claim to be losing money. But that might not be for too long because in the same breath, Phil Spencer said that price hikes on the Xbox, Xbox hardware, and subscriptions are coming. But don't worry, we're not going to make any changes until after the holidays. So if you want to gift an Xbox for Christmas or an Xbox for Hanukkah or whatever holiday you celebrate in November and December, then Xbox wants you to know that, hey, now is the time to get it. Maybe they're trying to subconsciously manipulate you into getting an Xbox instead of waiting in line for that PlayStation 5 with the fear that you're going to have to pay more later. Another company selling fear, maybe. I have no idea. I'm very curious to see how much it's going to go up. Partly the price increase is because of the cost increases on chips and plastic and all the other things that are going on right now. Anything made out of oil, like plastic, all the prices have gone up. And so Microsoft is okay with losing $100 to $200 per unit, but they don't want to lose any more. So after the holidays, after the New Year's, you're going to be paying more for those things. Online tonight with me, Max. More to come. Stay tuned.
Online tonight.
Geek Speak. Geek Speak.
This hour's Geek Speak is DST, short for Daylight Savings Time. I love learning something new, and something that I always thought about Daylight Savings Time was that the U.S. implemented it during the war to help save on energy costs. But after doing some research, I found out that it was first proposed in 1784 by Benjamin Franklin. Now, he may have just been joking, but he had sent a letter to a paper apparently in Paris suggesting that if you wake up earlier in the summer, you won't have to burn as many candles. So he was concerned about the wick and wax companies in his time period, and he wanted to offset the clock to minimize and maximize the amount of candles that were used. And, farmers for the longest time have been getting up at sunrise and going to bed at sunset. Well, maybe not going to bed, but at least going home and having dinner and then going to bed so they could start it all over again. There are some interesting things, especially in the U.S., in regards to daylight savings time. There are only two states in the territories of the United States. Remember, we have 50 states. Don't listen to the president. He doesn't know how many states there are. Okay, yes, no politics. We have 50 states, and we have several territories, like Guam, Puerto Rico, places like that. They all observe daylight savings time, except for three. This is what I found very interesting. Three places do not observe daylight savings time. Number one, Hawaii. I didn't know that. Arizona. I did know that. But the third one that really surprised me was the Navajo Nation does not observe daylight savings time. So if you're in Utah or you're in New Mexico or Colorado and you go to a facility that is run by the Navajo Nation, you may have a different time than on the screens or in a clock or in your hotel room that does not match what you think it is. And that's all because we use daylight savings times. That is this hour's Geek Speak.
Trying to figure out where the turkey bacon is on this pig. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
One of the complaints this year is it's not even Halloween. Halloween, I believe, is tomorrow. And we wish everyone a safe and happy Halloween. Be sure you check the candy. One of the things we like to do is we like to head over to like a mall and check out the different exhibits. Sometimes they have little fun little booths, especially nowadays with Instagram and things like that. They'll have little setups. Some places have like virtual screens where you can go and stand in front of them and you've got ghosts or skeletons dancing behind you. That's always a lot of fun. And they usually have a good set of candy. One of the complaints, however, is that a lot of the stores are already setting up for Christmas, which isn't for many, many days. It's like 60 days to Christmas or whatever it is. I haven't done the math, but it's really long ways away. And normally, Black Friday is the day after Thanksgiving, and we're not even near Thanksgiving yet. However, everybody wants your money right now because, things are a little tight and they want to give you the best possible excuse for you to go into the store. Target is kicking off their Black Friday discounts ahead of time, and they're going to be featuring technology from Apple and Google and Amazon and many others. You're going to be able to get discounts on the watch You're going to be able to get discounts on the AirPods from Apple. You're going to be able to get discounts on the Sony television and the Samsung Frame television. More on that later. And the Logitech Hero is now going for only $35. So that's pretty good. I got a quick message here. Somebody did the math for me. I greatly appreciate it. 55 days to Christmas. If we're counting today or we're not counting today, I don't know. I don't want to do any more math. But if you want to save money, one of the best ways to do that right now is to look at some of the early Black Friday deals, one of which is at Target. Another one is at Best Buy. If you are big into video games, you can now buy two, get one free, which apparently is a good value. I don't know. I don't buy a lot of video games. But some of the titles that you can... A lot of people want to buy these things online. And if you do buy these things online at Best Buy, make sure that you are building the package so that you can customize your choices and get the discount. I am always concerned that I'm not going to get the true value, the true discount. So I usually pop over to my Best Buy and see if they are honoring the same deal. But buy two, get one free on select video games for Xbox, Nintendo Switch, and of course PlayStation, the 4 and the 5. Some of the games out there are Gotham Knights, The Ghost of, Tsushima. Never going to get that right. Ratchet and Clank, always fun. And others like Demon Slayer. You can bundle those together and get a two-for-one deal from Best Buy. So they want you to come in early, beat the lines from Black Friday, and you'll be happy. I mentioned that Target has got the Samsung 55-inch frame television available. It is one of the lowest prices. It's under $1,000 now over there at Target. And I believe Amazon has it even for $1 or $2 less. I always feel weird about buying televisions from Amazon because then they put it in a truck and then they put it in a van and then they take it to your place and you hope that they don't drop it on your door. I like to be responsible for my own televisions, so I like to go somewhere, a physical store. This is why physical stores for me are still valuable. There are things that I don't want broken. Yes, they have a good return policy, but you know what if it is? What if it's the last game of the World Series or Super Bowl? You're going to want to have something working. One of the coolest TVs right now is the Samsung 55-inch frame television. It doesn't look like a TV at all. It hangs on your wall, and it looks like a portrait or a art. It is in a beautiful border, and you can hang it on your wall, and it looks fantastic, and it's now $500 off at most of these places. People who are concerned about health and fitness have been running to Fitbit, the Sense 2. It has also briefly dropped to below $80. It is good for your steps, your workouts. It also is a fantastic sleep tracker, though it doesn't necessarily work for me. It misreported several things for me, and I'm working with them on how to resolve that. I might even do a sleep test with them. But Fitbit, as you know, has been purchased by Google, and the Fitbit Sense 2 is now a great deal, and you'll be able to find that at Amazon and some other places. Let us know what you use in that space online tonight. Stay tuned.
We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Well, back in the early days of radio, all they had were jungle drums beating the rhythmic message of traffic and weather from village to village. But did they complain?
Hell no.
Do you hear me complaining?
Hell no, because you got a massive secret race that caused all these problems in the first place.
Exactly.
Online tonight, thank you so much for joining me. I greatly appreciate it. My name is Max, and I am your host. You can give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Text messages are taken at 951-395-1017. Be careful what you say, because if you say it, I'm going to say it, and therefore you have given me consent to do so. Email show@onlinetonight.com. Earlier, we were talking about how, I think it was last hour, We shared with you Google's revenue, or lack thereof, depending on your perspective. And if you're an analyst and an expert, it came in lower than they expected. So they may not be making as much money, but they are definitely not afraid to spend money. Apparently, 2 months ago, they spent over $100 million to buy a small startup company called Alter. Never heard of them. What do they do? Well, I'm going to tell you. They make AI, which is artificial intelligence, avatars. What's an avatar? Probably should make that a geek speak sometime soon. It is a digital representation of you in the digital world. And what's fantastic about avatars, which is also a scary thing at the same time. If I wanted to be a 13-year-old boy, I could. If I wanted to be a 18-year-old girl, I could. There's nothing limiting you on what you can make your avatar look like. And so when you see me in a digital world, you see this cartoon character, let's say, of what I want to project in that world. And so for some people, that may be fantastic. For others, it may not be. As an example, my dad weighs about 90 pounds. He would like to weigh about 150 pounds. So he could make his avatar look the way he hopes to someday look. And the inverse is possible. If you are a 500 or 600 pound person and you don't necessarily want to project that as your digital space, you can create an avatar that looks whatever you want, including a centaur or that other one with the bull's head. What is that thing called?
Minotaur.
Thank you. Minotaur. Yeah, I'm not up on all of my... Is that like a... is that from Greek mythology or what? Where are these things even from? Do you know?
I do not.
Okay. Anyway, so they spent $100 million on this company 2 months ago, kind of quietly. It just finally came out over the last week. If you are a Android user and you sometimes have to go and check to see if the latest app, especially MLB recently because of the postseason, they changed the app and needs to be updated, you may have noticed that the update button is slightly bigger. They want you to be able to push it. I don't know that I had any problems before, but it is a tiny bit bigger than it was before. If you don't have the auto update button selected and you want to manually do it, well, now it should be easier for you because the button is bigger. Marvel Snap, Marvel, which is owned by the Walt Disney Company, has earned $2 million in their very first week for a digital card game. In my day, we used to trade Cabbage Patch or Garbage Pail Kids. That's what we traded. And then later on, we learned about Pokemon, where you could actually play games using these cards. And of course, as I got an adult, got into Magic the Gathering. And so you have your different types of cards. You've got your blue cards and your green cards and things like that. Well, Marvel has come out with something called Marvel Snap, and it is similar to these types of games, but what makes them unique is it's digital only and they're short time period games. I have been in a Magic the Gathering session that has taken, you know, anywhere from 40 minutes. Other times it's taken over 2 hours. So these are little games. And what I mean by little games is you are limited in the amount of time. And they have already raked in over $1.3 million on iOS devices, $700,000 on Android devices, and they have had over 5 million downloads since they launched on October 17th. And what is very interesting is that iOS Android is beating the iOS people with almost double. In fact, it's more than double the amount of people have been acquiring these things. Interesting, they've made more money on iOS than they did on Android, but more Android users have downloaded it. So that's a curious thing. Speaking of Disney, the Walt Disney Company, there is a small group of people that have decided that streaming is bad. And their definition of bad is I bought something digitally and now it's been taken away from me. Or the original movie that I like has been censored. Or I can't even get it. And a big example of that is Song of the South. You cannot get Song of the South from the Walt Disney Company anywhere in America. You can still freely get it in Europe and other countries, but in America, you cannot get it. It is never coming out of the vault. It will never be on streaming. You can't get it. So there is a group of people who have said, you know what, we're tired of things disappearing on us or being censored, and they have decided that they're going back to physical discs. DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K Ultra, they are dumping their streaming companies like Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, and they are going back to digital discs. And you would say, well, wait, one of the advantages of digital media is that my ability to play it anywhere that I am. Okay. Whether this is right or wrong, they have decided that if I own a physical disc and I have an internet service and I have a media server, I can feed my own content to myself wherever I am. So they will take that physical disc, they will rip it, they will put it into Plex or whatever media server that they want. And a lot of these network access and network attached storage, like Western Digital makes them, Synology makes them. They have these media players built in. So you can rip your own discs and you can then stream them to yourself and not be beholden or limited by your streaming supplier. So that might be a little bit interesting. Something that I found interesting and I'm very concerned about, but I'm also excited about, is the new Avatar. Avatar Way of Water is coming out shortly, sometime soon. I believe it's later this year. I don't remember the exact date. Maybe Miss Victoria knows the exact date. But what concerns me, I'm excited that there's a new one, but what concerns me is that it's over 3 hours. And, you know, I have some relatives and some cousins and some other things like that don't do well in long movies. They have to, you know, they eat their popcorn and they drink that 32 ounces of icy or whatever, and they, in the middle of the movie, they always have to get up and go to the restroom, come back and say, what'd I miss? How many times are they going to have to do that during this Avatar movie? Miss Victoria, you know the answer. Go ahead. When will Avatar Way of Water appear in theaters?
December 16th.
I would love to see it in 3D. Absolutely want to badly see it in 3D. But I myself am like a camel. I can sit for a long period of time. I can fly from here to Australia, which is like a 20-hour flight, and never have to use the bathroom. But I'm concerned about a 3-hour movie.
I will have to abstain from water for about 3 hours before the movie.
And coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You should avoid coffee in the morning, because that's going to also affect you. A little bit more on Disney news. I saw this a few weeks ago and I was very interested. I saw that they were giving Disney Plus subscribers discounts on Disney cruises. And I've always enjoyed my cruising around, whether it be Norwegian or Carnival or Royal, but I've always enjoyed my time on Disney Cruise, so I found that to be very interesting that Disney Plus subscribers will be getting a discount on Disney Cruises, and you would have to check with your travel agent or if you're a Castaway Key member or whatever that group is called. I don't even remember. I'm sure I could fish out the card from my wallet. But Disney Plus subscribers are now going to be able to test a new service where they will be able to have exclusive merchandise available to them via VR codes while they're watching television. You're going to be able to get a QR code where you can scan that, and then you can order at a discount some new toys that Disney is releasing. And so that's going to be interesting. They are really trying to kind of maybe create this environment where you can have these special membership privileges. In a way, it kind of reminds me of Amazon Prime, right? So Amazon Prime, you can listen to Amazon music. You can watch Prime Video. You can get free shipping. There's a bunch of little things that you get when you pay them extra every year for the Prime membership. Well, Disney is saying, hey, if you're a Disney Plus subscriber, then you are a member of the club. And therefore, we should be able to extend to you some interesting discounts. And so that might be fun to check out. I wanted to just touch very briefly that PlayStation Plus, which is another subscription service, the Disney Plus made me think of this, is that a bunch of games in November have been announced, and you're going to be able to get those at no charge, extra charge, if you are a PlayStation Plus subscriber. Things like Lego Harry Potter and Heavenly Bodies and much more. You can check it out at the PlayStation blog for more information. It's Online Tonight. I'm Max. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight.
Hey! Bookmark this.
Max, thank you so much for joining me. This hour's Bookmark This is timeanddate.com. The word and is spelled out. Timeanddate.com. Earlier we talked about daylight savings time. And if you're curious, what time is it over in New York if you're in LA? What time is it in London right now? What time is it in one of those weird countries like North Korea that is like 38 minutes, 6 hours and 38 minutes differently than what you have? You can head over to timeanddate.com and you can click on their time zone map and you will get a world view. Flat though, it's not round. And you can see what the different times are. You can see that Arizona is currently this time, and it is currently this time in Chicago, or you could go over to Ireland, England, Spain, Barcelona, Amsterdam, and you can see what time it is over there. I find this to be a useful tool. Should I call this relative right now, or is it 4 o'clock in the morning? And all of that can be easily found at timeanddate.com. That is this hour's Bookmark This.
Online Tonight.
This show looks just as good with or without your 3D glasses. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Feel free to give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. You can text us, 951-395-1017, and email to the show goes to show@onlinetonight.com. Makes sense. You want to reach the show, then you send it to show. Sometimes we make sense here, sometimes we don't. I say we in that case because I don't want to be the only one who's in error. And most of the time, it is me who is in error. One of the errors that I made was I bought the first generation of the Apple Watch. And it barely lasted me 12 hours. I was, I didn't really feel that I was a heavy user. But when Google came out with their new Pixel Watch, I thought, 24 hours of battery life? Can't be so. Can't be true. Oh, I should have my Ben Affleck button, but I don't have it. No, sir. Can't be true. When you heard it, Brian, what did you think when you heard that a Pixel Watch would last for 24 hours?
Whoa.
Exactly. You were surprised because the history with the Apple Watch was you weren't getting anywhere close to that. This is why sleep monitoring and things like that on the original Apple Watches was difficult because they just didn't have the power. Well, people have found that, you know what, I'm not getting 24 hours out of my new Pixel Watch from Google, and Google decided to respond. They said, hey, let me tell you how you can get 24 hours. And the answer is, you got to turn stuff off. If you want the Pixel Watch to last longer, you need to turn off the always-on display. It's one of the very first things that you have to do. Turn that off, and you'll get more battery life. What are some of the other things that you can do? Well, you can limit what you do with it. And when I say limit, what I mean is keep track of how long you're doing certain things. Like if you get a lot of notifications, try not to get more than 200 notifications. If you have more than that, it's going to affect your battery life. You should only check the time about 200 times a day. because if you limit the amount of time that you want to know, am I late, you're going to get more battery life. You can only make about 5 minutes worth of LTE phone calls, and then you'll get that 24 hours or 45 minutes of LTE and GPS workout. And if you're listening to YouTube music, you want to keep that down to 50 minutes. Google Maps for navigation via Bluetooth, you got to try to keep that 50 minutes. And if you meet all those guidelines, then Google hopes and believes that you will make 24 hours out of a single charge. I noticed something, especially with Halloween coming up soon. We went and got some bags of candy. And I'm always a big fan of the full-size candy bars. And one of my favorite full-size candy bars is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, not the pieces. I mean, E.T. did not convince me to go and get Reese's Pieces. I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And what's very interesting is I have a signed Reese's Peanut Butter Cup that I got, and a celebrity signed it for me from 10 years ago. And I just kind of felt the outside. And I noticed those cups seem bigger than the full-size candy bars we have now. It seems like everything right now is being costing the same or more, but we're actually getting less product. And someone else who's decided this is valuable. Coca-Cola has decided that the future of Coca-Cola making more billions is in packaging. They have come out with different size combos, different size boxes, different size bottles, different size cans. They used to sell 6 ounce bottles. Then they came out with 12 ounce bottles because Pepsi was giving them pressure. And now you can get little 6 ounce plastic bottles or 6 ounce cans, and you can buy smaller packs instead of buying the 12 pack or the case or the 20 pack or the 24. It used to be 24 pack, now it's 20 pack. Coke has decided, hey, we're going to make different sizes because a lot of people want smaller sizes. No, I don't think so. I think people still want the value for what they had before. Something that you might find valuable in the pop culture department is Snoop Dogg has his very own cereal. I don't know if you know this, but he has his own baking company, and he's come out with the Snoop Dogg Loops cereal. It looks a lot of fun. You may be able to find it in your local grocery store. It's called Snoop's Loops, and it features a little blue bear on the front. It's something I want to try. Do you want to try it? Online tonight. Stay tuned.